We're reading from the writings of Bala Sulam, Kabbalah for the Student, Inner Reflection, Study of the Ten Sefirot, Part 1. We are in item 12. You can ask questions at Kab.tv. Selected questions will be heard in the course of the lesson. So, Kabbalah for the Student, page 729. The will to receive contained in the thought of creation brought it out of his essence to acquire the name Ein Sof. Now you see how the light of Ein Sof departed his essence, in which we cannot utter any word, and became defined by the name Or Ein Sof, light of Ein Sof. It is because of this above discernment that in that light there is the will to receive, incorporated in it, in it form his essence. This is a new form that is not included whatsoever in his essence, from whom would he receive? This form is also the full measure of this light.
This means existent from existence is the light. And in that light, the will to receive started to appear or exist, and to the degree in which the light revealed in it, the light is already more and more within the will to receive, and the will to receive already starts to be impressed and to feel the light, that the light is the preliminary, the initial force. But the desire that is being revealed now and is developing is actually the subject upon what we're talking about, and it changes according to the light. And thus, that desire which is being revealed right now in the light starts to feel the light each time in a different way. And for the revelation inside the desire, that's what we're talking about. And this way, they both exist and are wrapped together in all the states that go between them. All in all, just the two of them is all the creation, all of reality, all that we can talk about. Other than this, there's nothing other than the two of them. Therefore, there's nothing really to be confused about. We have to always take into account that all in all, we have light and desire. The light is constantly operating upon the desire in order to give to it, to bestow to it, and the desire is constantly gradually developing and going through all kinds of stages, and there's no return, and there's no leaping or jumping, rather gradual steps that are within the desire are ordered, invited by the light each time in a constant manner from the good and benevolent, and the desire develops to more and more benevolence and more good, and necessarily it goes through all kinds of stages that he wants more, and in this way and in another way, and he reveals the bestower, and he reveals himself, the emanator, and all these different processes. And in these processes we differentiate the stages, the degrees. These stages are called the degrees, the sfirot, the partsufim, the worlds, doesn't matter. But it's all the stages of development of the desire by the light. And no more than that. And then the light is developing until a state in which it starts to feel itself. It starts to feel who fills it and who cares for it and how he can reach it. Of course, it goes through all this process in a necessary manner. It can't define to itself in what ways it should develop. It can't define in what order to develop. It can only define from a certain state and onwards how it responds to its development, how though it receives its form of development, how it comes to the point where all the manners of development he receives with love. That the most pleasant things he receives with love, and later the not so pleasant, and later the horrible ones truly, he also accepts them with love. This is called the discernment of correction, that he rises above himself and identifies with the light. This is what we're talking about. And then it goes out of this, of the boundaries of the will to receive, from its nature, and rises above himself and above the nature which the light created in it initially, from the initial point of its existence. It comes to the opposite manner, that instead of the being in the desire, it's like it's all becomes like the light. It acquired from the light, received from the light, all the intensity and power of its bestowal. So that's all in all. There's only these two, this one before that one, and the desire constantly develops, the light develops it, and the desire also, from some point of development and onwards, can define its attitude, its relations with the light, how it relates to what is developing. Of course, the whole process goes upon it in a necessary manner, in an obligatory way. But necessarily the desire has the ability to replace its attitude towards the force which is operating in it. That's it. Yes.
You said we don't deal with his essence.
Yeah, again, you're asking that. You asked that a week ago.
I didn't ask. I remember what I asked. It's a part of it.
He asked about his essence.
No, not about that. You see, I have witnesses.
No, it's good that you have a constant question. That's very respectable, that you're standing upon it. You want to scrutinize it.
So he says this: the will to receive is included in him from his essence. And I'm asking, what? His essence has the will to receive?
In Atzmuto, in his essence, there's everything.
But it's not a will to receive.
So from where does the will to receive come from?
He parted in us these two parts, but in his essence, he's the will to receive.
That's the question. How could it be that in the will to bestow, which is completely the Creator, in his essence, there's all in all nothing. If you go all the way up to his essence, we don't even talk about that because we don't have words in all. We can't even touch upon it. But if we're talking about our root, we can't be exact here and precise here with the cleanliness of how we use our language here. His essence, or later we have the 10 names, Elohim, Ekye, Yud, and there are all kinds of things that we'll see later. But here, when we're talking about the initial source of ours, we say that's the light, the desire to bestow. Already the desire to bestow is talking about towards us. What's before that? We don't know. We start to talk about his desire to benefit his creatures. Meaning it's already a desire, already to benefit, and already his creatures. Everything exists there. We tend to talk from the thought of creation and downwards, and not from the thought of creation and upwards, where still there isn't the thought of creation. Because creation is called bar, separated from the degree. Therefore, we're talking about the desires of the future creatures, that in their potential, their reshimo is there, in the thought process.
bestow. Does he have to be connected from two parts, or bestow is netto without two parts and just it, bestow?
There needs to be, first of all, the thought of creation to bestow, and then to who to bestow, with what to bestow, and so on. Meaning there must be four stages, also in the thought.
I was asking about bestow itself. Take bestow netto, without anything around it.
Yes.
Can it be bestow as an energetic matter, like fuel of bestow, which is not comprised from two parts?
It's constructive of everyone, from the whole of the Havaya. Because it's, and it's all in bestow. Because bestow means that I want to bestow. To bestow means I want to be, to, for there to be someone that I bestow towards. And from my bestow, he understands and gets to know me and embraces with me and receives from me all the internality and then reaches the adhesion. And in this adherence, he reaches the implementation and the fulfillment of bestow fully. Otherwise, it's not bestowal. The end of the action is in the initial thought. That's what it's called. The end of the action that will be in the creature was in the initial thought of the Creator.
The light itself, is it bestowal?
Yes. And within the light, everything is included.
The light itself is bestowed, meaning you have plus and minus inside the light itself.
And the light itself is included. Otherwise, we can't talk about the light. If I'm talking about the light, right, we're talking about bestowal. Bestowal to what? For who? For what? It's all incorporated within the light. We cannot talk about something that belongs only to his essence. We can't talk about that because speaking, the talking, includes those two parts in its foundation. You are talking on the, from the side of the creature.
Okay, now I'm on the side of the creature. So the bestow. When you're talking about bestow,
yes,
can it be only two forces, plus and minus, and that's it? And that is bestow?
Yes, you don't need more than that.
So where there's the third party, the three lines?
No, the three lines. Who knows what you're asking? Leave it. No, that's not a question. The three lines is from the incorporation of the two lines that he chooses himself, how to behave between this and that, at least in some of the vessels, and so he'll be able to use them in order to bestow back to, towards the Creator. I can't bestow the whole Kli, only with some of it. So therefore, I use the middle line. The middle line is a compromise between two lines. I cannot use 100% of the Kli, so I use 50% of the Kli. That's called the middle line. From a lack of choice, but agree and think that all of creation includes only two parts, creator and creature, light and vessel, the desire to receive, the desire to bestow. That's it, nothing more, and the vessel develops within the light. It develops in the light, meaning the light is constantly bestowing, influencing the desire, and the desire is included from this bestowal and receives an impression from it and changes by the light, by the bestowal of the light. And this influence adds intention to it. The desire itself does not change, it's matter. What changes is the intention, meaning the response, the attitude towards the light, whether it's good or not good, is he bad or is he like this or is he like that, it's not important. I want to bestow to him or I want to receive and I don't want to bestow. All those responses are within the desire. That's how he is constantly changing. And we are that desire. And we are constantly changing Only we have reached in to such a development, which is called the point in the heart. It's a certain form of desire that we reach that development, that we want to define ourselves, the stages of our development. I want myself to rule, to control. I'm egoist. I want to control my development. I want to rise above my desire so it will be like still, like vegetative, like animate. I don't want to be operated. I want to define my forms, my attitude, to understand, to feel. We're bigger egoists, more than anyone, yes, but in one direction, when we start to develop, whoever is greater than his friend, his inclination is greater than them. But in what direction? I feel according to the essence of creation, according to the plan of creation. I examine this and I scrutinize this and don't agree. And then, especially from this disagreement, I come to a state in which I see that this is what I'm feeling in my will to receive is not good. Why not good? Why is the light good and I'm not good? And then I start to check myself. Where's the justice? And the town of and the city of Shoshan is confused. Why can it be that why can't it be that I'm thinking about myself and it's good? There are many questions here, and all in all, in the end, we will discuss all of these things. That's to add to the questions that you will have for next time. But all in all, we come to a decision that the light is good, and we need to accept its qualities, its attributes. And then I do all kinds of actions and efforts to reach its nature. Continue.
Item 13. Prior to the Tzimtzum restriction, the disparity of form in the will to receive was indiscernible. In his almightiness, this new form would not have been defined as a change from his light, as it is written, before the world was created, there were He is one and His name one. He indicates the light in Ein Sof, and His name implies the place, which is Malchut, the Ein Sof, being the will to receive from His essence contained in the light of Ein Sof. He tells us that He is one and His name one, His name, which is Malchut de Ein Sof, being the desire, namely the will to receive that has been immersed in the entire reality contained in the thought of creation prior to the restriction, no disparity of form and difference from the light was discerned in it. And the light and the place are literally one. Had there been any difference and deficiency in the place compared to the light of Ein Sof, there would certainly be two discernments there.
Questions? They didn't hear. Read it again. That's how I feel, like they didn't hear it. Why are you laughing? What are we talking about here? No. What? In a few words, say what was written here without looking at the text. Yes? You're already looking. Okay, let him read. It's okay. In my eyes, the customer is right.
Prior to the Tzimtzum, the disparity of form in the will to receive was indiscernible. In His almightiness, this new form would not have been defined as a change from His light, as it is written, before the world was created, there were He is one and His name one. He indicates the light in Ein Sof, and His name implies the place, which is Malchut, the Ein Sof, being the will to receive from His essence contained in the light of Ein Sof. He tells us that He is one and His name one, His name, which is Malchut the Ein Sof, being the desire, namely the will to receive that has been immersed in the entire reality contained in the thought of creation prior to the Tzimtzum, prior to the restriction. No disparity of form and difference from the light was discerned in it, and the light and the place are literally one. Had there been any difference and deficiency in the place compared to the light of Ein Sof, there would certainly be two discernments there.
I don't know how to draw this in what way. From the root, we have Shoresh, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, and Dalet, which this is Malchut of Ein Sof. Or to depict it in such a way that this is the circle within a circle within a circle within a circle. And this is Shoresh, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, and there's still Dalet. It doesn't matter in what way. The main thing is the development. So the development comes to such a stage that the light is revealed more and more and more. The desire becomes more and more scrutinized, more feeling, more thought, filled with thought, until in this fourth phase, in this Pchinat Dalet, this is the Dalet, the fourth phase. It feels that it receives Ein Sof, endless. I am the receiver, let's say, the light of Ein Sof, meaning limitless. There's no end, there's no boundary. This is what it feels. This is what he feels. I am receiving the light of Ein Sof to without any limits. What does it mean, without any limits? As much as there is light, I receive all of it, meaning I have a desire for this whole light. I mean, there's no limitation, not from a lack and not from a surplus. An ideal state. Yes? That's it. Now, I was, truly, dead thirsty. I just was dying to have a glass of water, and I got the glass of water, and I drank it, and to the last ounce, not more, not less, it was exactly according to my desire. Nothing remained, and nothing was lacking. That's the Malchut of Ein Sof. Oh, please.
This part in the article, it's a bit hard to understand. What I'm trying to understand...
No, it's speaking about this is what the Creator prepared for us. And this is called Malchut Ein Sof. And this state is the constant state, and now to it we need to come on our own. So our desire will be exactly like the light, and the intention exactly like the light, and you know, the connection, and so on and so on. Meaning in harmony, in perfection, in completion.
In my small understanding, I understand that in fact this is the process of the relationship between the Creator and the creature. This is in fact the essence of the article. Perhaps we should delve deeper.
Yes, yes.
But its inner essence is the relationship between the Creator and the creature. This is how we should understand it, right?
Right. Yes. Well,
the fourth Bechina stops receiving the light because there is a disparity of form compared to the light, something she did not have in the three previous Bechinot.
The fourth phase feels what's going on in it. It feels who it's receiving from, in what form it's receiving, and the attitude of the giver. This is what it feels. Other than the response to this, the fourth phase is everything that there is in the Creator He bestowed upon the will to receive and brought it to a state in which this will to receive was filled from all the feeling and all the attitude and all the relations and all the fulfillment that the Creator could give or wanted to give. And now, after the Bchina Dalet, the fourth phase, received everything, it's like I received and I closed up. And now I'm starting to develop from what I received. So therefore, this fourth phase is called Malchut de Ein Sof. The boundaryless Malchut. And now all these things that are, these desires that are in me, the will to receive and the will to bestow and the pleasure, meaning the will to receive is the attitude of the Creator towards me, the love, let's say, and the pleasure which fills the will to receive. These three parameters. I, as the receiver that wants to receive and receives, the pleasure that I receive, and the sensation of the giver of the pleasure, that he loves me. Those three I feel, those three parameters. And then they start to operate in me. If I weren't to feel his love, I enjoy, and it's good, and that's it. But his love corrupts me. I start to feel, other than I'm enjoying, that there's something else here that I need to respond to. It doesn't keep me in quiet, in silence. And we'll move to the next part.
Now let's move on to the next part from the writings of the social writings of the Rabash.